Please welcome Matt Allison.
Thank you. This is going to be a story about learning to walk again. I was 17 and there's prairie grass in South Dakota. There's barren wastelands. It's basically an infinite grassland. There's a joke, an old running joke, that if your dog runs away, you can watch it run away for 3 weeks. So my cousins and I found a lot to do in that time and growing up in this infinite prairie land. What we would do is we found the one tree belt. And in this one tree belt, hidden and covered from all population 14,000 Pierre, we did what teenage boys do. We built forts out of found pieces of timber. We put it together and we were army men. We came up with games, we designated roles, and we found ourselves in these games. There was this little path, a dirt path, and we would go in line, army men, through and through. There was a girl cousin. She was kind of a tomboy, but found her own wings later. She went ahead, my cousins followed after, and I was in the last part, and they looked behind our little footprints, and they saw mine, and there was something odd about those footprints. They were splayed, kind of like a Charlie Chaplin penguin walk across the dirt. And my cousin, the one who was in the middle, he was middle-aged, so to speak, and he loved basketball, but didn't really like what you might call a subtlety or wit. So he just looked at me directly, plain face, and said, "What's the matter with your feet?" That led to a series of self-interrogations. I went to my parents and said, "What's wrong with my feet?" So we explored this together, my mother and I. We untied the shoes and took off the socks, and we saw the feet were as flat as rulers. Like, there was an old system with the monarchies, right, where the kings would say, "Not only am I law, but I'm your god, and everything will be measured according to my feet." So instead of a metric unit, they would put their foot down. You could actually do this with my feet because there were no arches. And that led to the splaying path. So we had to do something about this. This was a problem to be solved. So we had to leave the tree belt, and we had to go to doctors. And in South Dakota, I'm happy to report, there are two. Now, these doctors had very different philosophies, because in the realm of arch reconstruction, this is a bourgeoisian field. It's a blossoming field, let's say. But these are radically different camps, and they have very different consequences. So the first one was in Sioux Falls. This man was of the opinion that you fuse joints together. That's how you repair. You fuse these joints irreparably. The second man had a different school of thought, and he was in Rapid City, and he said something a little more complicated, something a little harder to understand. He said, "We're going to put some nails, we're going to put some bolts, we're going to put some crivets, we're going to allow geometry to work against gravity, and that will lift. But that's all I can say, and it's kind of risky." So I wanted to go with Sioux Falls, of course, because he just had two words, fused joints. But my dad, who's a little suspicious of things that are short and sweet, said, "Let's Google that." And we did, and found that fused joints is a terrible solution for a 17-year-old. Because in the short run to median run, it will cause an anarchy of, what do you want to call it? What's that thing when your joints on your fingers really, really, really hurt and you can barely move them? That exactly. So we decided against Sioux Falls. He had done many, many kids. In South Dakota, you know, enlightenment comes slow, but we do our best. So I went straight to Rapid City. And I told my girlfriend at the time, she's this brilliant 4.0 student, that I'm going to have this really complicated surgery done to raise arches from nothing. And she had a lot of questions, not one of which I could answer. So I have a very smart person with a lot of questions, and I have parents who don't know what to do, but fortunately through UPS can afford it, and I am there alone to experience it. My cousins, with whom I ran and played army with in a tree belt, were no longer appropriate company. So I went to this place in Rapid City, and I was getting prepped for the surgery. they completely demean you. I mean, that is the hospital system. It's not a bad thing. It's just what it is. Your clothes are taken off. You're given a drapery. You're told a lot of things in cold scientific jargon, and then stuck with a needle. And then this little cold, cold, cold liquid pulses through, and you become very relaxed and very calm and very sedated as they wheel you down the hallway to the open door, and you see the operating room, and right on that little table with all the nice little instrumentation is the hammer, reminding you how barbaric this thing they're gonna do to break your ankle is. And then I saw the anesthesiologist, who I think was from, I don't know where, he pushed a button and said, count backwards from 100, and I got to the end of the last syllable of, huh? And I fell asleep. Not a second later of consciousness, I woke up and looked down, and there was, well, I can't even paint the picture for you. Imagine that bludgeoned hammer against the arch, against the ankle, twisted around, and then probably a pound of metal, innately like a Christmas tree put in, from someone very, very deliberate. I was probably his 101st patient. And then you have the nights of agony, post Percocet and Oxycontin. And my girlfriend came back. And she's such a sweet girl at the time that I learned she was only talking about me when I was gone. And then, of course, human nature being what it is, I reward her with my hallucination, clearly pointing to her stomach and saying, I'm a father. I wasn't. I was Protestant. We hadn't even come close to touching, holding hands. Deep Protestantism in conservative South Dakota. But Percocet can do amazing things to your brain synapses. Makes you imagine what is when there is not. I came home and learned something we all learn when we're very young, to walk again. To walk again with my cousins. They went quite far ahead down their paths, and to this day, through years and decades, they've went on their own paths. And simply to put down this little odd thing called a foot, which really does defy gravity when you stop to think about it. The weight of the entire universe down, we found a way to arch and stand erect as Homo erectus. After 6 weeks of not putting any pressure on this thing, it is jello, with this odd thing called a bone coming down. And this one wonderful lady, a physical therapist, great, 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 she came up close to me and said, now you're going to walk today. And then she stepped back. And then she took another step back and five more to the end of this hallway that was her office and said, now come. I grabbed the side pole and I put the foot down. And if you can imagine your brain at the bottom of your kneecap coming down, that's exactly what it was. Your nerve endings are so alert to pain. One after the other after the other, and maybe on the 256th step after that, it felt like walking again. And I entered high school. This was my last year, pre-college. Big, you know, nerd looking. I was the 4.0, except I wasn't, but I looked like it because I had my glasses on. I was really skinny. I got my 4.0 girlfriend with all, like, double load of books because she carried mine as well. And I was at it again. Not quite a butterfly, but also not cocooned. Thank you.